Welcome to Reality TV, the podcast where we cringe watch all the shows we love and love to hate. I'm Jody, your source for snarky reality TV recaps from all the networks across the board. No one is off limits as I dissect even the tiniest details of our favorite train wrecks. Be sure to follow up between episodes on Twitter and Instagram at Reality TV Pod. Snark with me and fellow listeners on Facebook in the Reality TV Podcast Orchard of Snark group. And for nitty-gritty, unfiltered me, check out bonus episodes at patreon.com/realitvpod. All right, let's get to the good stuff. Hello, and welcome back to this week's episode of Teen Mom OG. What a cluster we have going on between these four, well, they're not girls, young ladies. And I got to give it to MTV because they're bringing us kind of a calm before the storm with Farrah. I think she's been getting a pretty damn good edit so far this season. So the upcoming on-air firing is going to be some must-see TV, fingers crossed. I gotta think, if this is the end game MTV has been playing all along for years, this is gonna be fantastic. I'm falling for it. Hook, line, sinker. So I guess as long as we are talking about Farrah, let's just get right in there. Bad choice of phrasing, but hey, if the back door fits, right? So we're still in Italy. Farrah and Deb are going to go out for some mom and daughter one-on-one time. They go to this really sad-looking karaoke bar, and I think Farrah is trying to make it seem like they're getting some exclusive bottle service and a private booth, but really they are confined to this little alcove area that's next to a window, next to the stage, drinking champagne. It was really pathetic. And then there is this tiny, tiny pocket man in a yellow suit trying to get Farrah to sing. It's quite possible that he is one of the new Wiggles, and he keeps coaxing Farrah to sing, but she refuses because Farrah is allergic to having fun. But you know who isn't? Deborah. She whisper yells who she is. Deb's OG. Deb's OG. And somehow, some way, I'm thinking it was probably a producer or a camera guy who made this happen. Deb's OG, the song, starts playing in the club. And Deb gets up and starts dancing. And the crowd starts doing all these strange dance moves I've never seen before in my life. It was like a bad B-movie dream sequence where someone feels like they're about to pass out and they're looking around at like a school homecoming dance and people are just moving like blobs and looking and laughing. It was a horror movie, an Italian horror movie. Now, the next day, Deb goes to Farrah's hotel room, and she walks in with an armful of garment bags. Oh, here we go. I have surprises for my Sophia. I brought you some dresses from your grandma. Isn't it gorgeous? Okay, so here's the deal. Deborah has brought a bunch of dresses to Italy to manipulate Sophia into wanting to go to her wedding to creepy Dr. David.
I would like so much, Mama, if Sophia wore it to my wedding. I would like you to come to my wedding to hold my dress.
I would want to snap just like Farrah does if someone tried to pull this shit with me. Farrah has clearly said no. I can't believe I'm defending her. But she has said no so many times. They are not interested going to your wedding. Stop it. And now Deb's walking in trying to bribe and manipulate her granddaughter. It is weird and dysfunctional. So Sophia's answer to Deborah, as Sophia is walking out of the room, I mean physically trying to get away from her, is, I don't like David. And she did kind of have those creepy eyes. Sorry, no. So now we got to ask ourselves, did Farrah brainwash Sophia into thinking all this bad stuff about Deborah and David? Or is Sophia just coming up with this on her own? A little bit of both. I'm going to go with mostly Farrah brainwashing because she is still a kid, right? But I think even if Farrah was doing that, what Deb says next is equally bad, if not worse. She says, "Sophia, I would be in your wedding." I mean, what the hell? You are a grown woman, a grandmother, and you're guilt tripping your granddaughter, making her feel badly for you. You know, like you're an adult. A kid should never be having to feel bad for their parent, their grandparent. You know what I'm saying? Just manipulating her into doing something she is telling you she is not comfortable doing. Clearly, I know this. It's a trigger for me, this guilt trip stuff. I just get a visceral reaction when I see it, especially with a kid this young. So Deb and Farrah start going at it about this and all the same stuff as always. They both finger point. They both lack empathy. So annoyed with Deborah, Farrah and Sophia cancel their day with her and they just invite themselves along to join Michael and Amy for the day. I'm sure the happy couple was just thrilled to see them show up. So Farrah sits down and starts complaining about how Deborah's always bringing up her wedding and she won't take no for an answer. Farrah excuses herself to the washroom. Actually, you know what? I take that back. She asks, "Michael, where's the bathroom here?" Okay, like Michael is the Rick Steves guide to lavatories in Italy. I mean, figure it out, entrepreneur, hashtag boss mom. What's interesting about this is that while Farrah is gone, Michael looks around, quietly whisper asks Sophia if she wants to go to Deborah's wedding. And you can tell Michael knows that Sophia is just emotionally confused. Farrah is her mom, for Christ's sake. And I just worry if Farrah is still living at the petting zoo right now, because Michael better sleep with one eye open if Farrah saw that scene last night. Later on, Farrah and Sophia have this moment together talking about their trip. And normally this little moment would be something a mom would treasure. I know I would. You're in a beautiful place in Italy talking with your daughter. I know if I had the opportunity, I would have just held her, hugged, had a sweet little moment. But in this moment, Farrah puts on a show of exactly how she gets into Sophia's head. It's really disturbing to watch. She asks Sophia if she liked Amy and Grandpa's engagement. "Yeah, that was really nice, right? Because we didn't get to be a part of Grandma's engagement." Which, side note, why would it be a requirement to have you, Farrah, at someone else's engagement? Like, where do you get this entitlement that you should be at everyone's romantic moments? Well, then Farrah says, "Well, I'm happy you enjoyed Italy. Family vacations are going to be limited now because Grandma's getting married." I mean, and then if that's not sick enough, she goes on to say, "Soph, some people just get married, but not you and not your mama, okay?" I mean, I almost felt like I was watching something that could have been a scene on that creepy documentary, Mommy Dead and Dearest, or even Mommy Dearest, you know, just like, oh, God. Well, lastly, we have the whole clan together for gelato, and Farrah is suddenly baby talking her order. "What do you want, boo-boo? Strawberry, vanilla, and chocolate chip, please." And then Deborah shows up just to piss on her own hydrant, mark her territory. I mean, talk to Michael privately. And Michael in his stupid sunglasses followed Deborah, just like the abused puppy that he is. And Deborah asked Michael what he thinks about Sophia's refusal to go to the wedding. And Michael says he knows it's because Sophia has witnessed these arguments between Deborah and Farrah, but also in not so many words. It was more like blinks and clicking sounds. They recognize that It's Farah putting these ideas into Sophia's head. Michael assures Deb that he and Amy have been trying to encourage them to go to the wedding, but, you know, what are they going to do? And that's when Deb starts to ugly cry, and Michael's just remembering why he got out of that mess and happily lives at the petting zoo now. Well, let's go on to Macy. It's Bentley's birthday this week, and Taylor is out in the yard setting up Bentley's gift. It's one of those in-ground trampolines. And while he's doing that, Ryan calls Macy. She picks up right away and tells Ryan that, you know what, Bentley's going to be home soon. He's going to a sleepover, but I'll have him call you as soon as he gets home. Really didn't seem that acrimonious or awkward to me. But we're still in a holding pattern because Ryan hasn't taken those drug tests that Macy and her attorney have required him to take in order to have visitation with Bentley. The thing is that Bentley has been wanting to see Jen and Larry and go over to their house. And it is his birthday, so I gotta give it to Macy. She's agreed to let him go over there as long as Jen and Larry don't allow Ryan or Mackenzie to take Bentley anywhere. So Bentley comes home. He's cute on his trampoline. And wow, I didn't realize that Macy lived on such a busy street, which, you know, I would have put the tramp in the backyard, but maybe it's a Tennessee thing. But Macy was good about making sure that Bentley called Ryan back right away. You know what? I got to be honest. I don't know if I would be as good of a mom. I know I would bite my tongue, but I think she's doing a good job of kind of keeping her issues with Ryan separate from Macy. But again, we're just seeing what's on camera. Now, it's a much different reality than Mackenzie and Ryan want us to see, however, because Mackenzie says to Ryan, well, I'm glad Macy actually picked up the phone on his birthday. I mean, she loves stirring the pot, except the pot is only filled with Mackenzie's fake storylines, and Mackenzie's too stupid to realize, you know what, we're seeing it play out on camera with our own eyes, and she is just full of shit. The producer asked Ryan, you know, what's going on with this drug testing and the visitation. Ryan claims that he's done the drug testing with his lawyer, and then Mackenzie jumps in to finish answering and says, Macy doesn't have the results because Macy doesn't care to ask for results. Yeah, she doesn't care for the results. Like, that doesn't even make sense, Mackenzie. The whole point of her requesting it is because she does care, you idiot. Mackenzie also claims that she hasn't gotten Macy's RSVP for the wedding yet. Remember the one that was sent to only Macy and Bentley, not her husband or other two children who are your son's siblings? Now, of course, we find out later that was a lie, Maury style, because Mackenzie herself texted Macy about the weird little mix-up that must have happened when her hand broke off from her body and wrote the invitations by themselves. Now, fast forward to Jen and Larry picking up Bentley. Bentley is so damn cute with that little Jade, his little sister. It was just so, so sweet. You could tell he's a good big brother. And he's even cuddling Mackenzie's son in the car. Love that kid. So when they get back to Jen and Larry's, Ryan and Mackenzie just have their lazy asses sprawled on the damn couch. Oh, and also we find out that Mackenzie wears a CZ from Claire's. It's not a real diamond ring. Busted, girl. Now, remember how Ryan has been just so depressed and desperate to see his son? It's been weeks or months, and it's just been killing him inside. Yeah, well, Bentley walks in on his birthday, and Ryan doesn't even fucking flinch. He doesn't sit up. He doesn't even stand up. Doesn't walk over, hug his son. Doesn't so much as even give him a high five. You know what he does do, though? He starts asking Bentley, why are you wearing that sweatshirt? And why were you wearing that dorky glove in the picture? He's just making fun of him, teasing him. You know, he's not one of your friends, Ryan. He is your son. You're supposed to make him feel good about himself, make him feel like he is the most important person to you in that room. And, you know, how Jen and Larry don't call it on Ryan. Like, hey, Ryan, look, Bentley's here, your son. Go give him a hug. It's your boy. Jen and Larry, you know, they are easy to like, but they're also easy to get angry at because they are such enablers. Ugh. All right, well, as long as I'm growling, God, I'm actually growling at this, let's talk about Amber. Amber and Andrew the Giant are driving, and actually I take that back because Andrew the Giant is the one driving Amber around. Amber likes to do this with new guys. Like, you drive my car, babe, because you take care of me. She's got some daddy issues. Gross. So right out of the gate, we hear them playing I Spy, a child's game that Amber has surely never played with her own child. And Andrew says, oh God, I'm going to get, I spy with my little eye something that starts with a T. I mean, I can't even say the answer because it's just so foul and gross to me. I hate the word. But Amber responds with the T word used for boobs, plural. And she was right. Ugh. Is it just me that's just completely and utterly disgusted by this guy? He just oozes insincerity and he's just such an opportunist. How does Amber not see that this is the only type of guy that she picks? Back at the Shirley farm, Gary and Christina fill us in that Amber has finally called and told them about the pregnancy. So they all know, Leah knows, and they just worry that Amber is going to not be prepared to be a mom. She didn't have much to do with Leah because apparently she just slept all day for the first few years. We did see whispers of that though. And now we know with our own I Spy with my two little eyes that Amber just pops in and out when MTV's around. And when she has a guy that she wants to show off, like, oh, I'm such a great mom to Boo Boo. Well, sure enough, that is precisely the plan. Amber is going to go pick up Leah to meet up with cousin Crystal, meth, and her mom at the pumpkin patch. Hey, Booger Butt. God, that fucking Booger Butt nickname. I hate Booger Butt more than Boo Boo. They arrive at the pumpkin patch and Leah proceeds to pick up Crystal's kid and compares him to her sister. It's okay. I have a sister that's 200 million pounds. I think Gary just got embarrassed when Leah saw his weight on the scale one day and blamed it on Emily. You know, his favorite child. Well, now we got to remember that Crystal nor Amber's mom have met Andrew. So they nervously meet one another. It's super awkward. And Amber is doing that thing that I hate, just like James on Love After Lockup. When you're the one bringing in someone new, like you're the middleman, do your job, facilitate the conversation. But no, Amber just sits back and leaves it up to that big dumb ox Andrew and cousin Crystal to just gab like old girlfriends. Amber's mom, who also has a bubble in her throat at all times, just like Tony on Sister Wives, she's tweaking out. I mean, she is twitching. She is so nervous about Amber bringing yet another guy around, another serious relationship that she jumps into. And I barely caught it because they're bumping around on this hayride. But her mom says, so are you staying here? Now, you know she's smart enough that she was scoping it out like, shit, we got another lazy loafer just putzing around Central Indiana without a job, mooching off Amber again. And then Amber just goes for it. So I gotta tell you guys something. I'm pregnant. I mean, I really truly think that Amber thought her mom and Crystal were just gonna be so excited for her. But instead, it went like this. Shut up. For real? No, you're not. She's joking. Is she joking? No, no. Are you for real? She's not for real. I don't know. Are you pranking me? No, she's serious. So Crystal was able to catch her breath, gather enough oxygen in her lungs to say, I mean, I'd rather be Andrew than Matt. To which Amber laughed, taking it as a compliment. Only Amber. Now, her mom never even said congratulations. At least I didn't catch it. But she did say, I hope you don't have a past we find out about in a year. We've been through a lot of shit. I hope you step up to the plate. Just treat my daughter right. So then they go around the pumpkin patch, blah, blah, blah. They think that they look cute together. Later on, we find out back at Amber's house that someone has leaked her pregnancy. And you know Amber loves it. And can we really even call it a leak if no less than 30 people already knew? Well, Andrew says that he wanted to be able to tell his family in person at Thanksgiving, but they already heard about it, so he called him up and told them, and they're happy about it. Oh, the drama. Yeah, there's no drama. It's so fucking stupid. And you know what? Amber is not a teenager anymore. Andrew is clearly not a teenager, nor has he been one for 25, 30 years. So the way that they're acting, just so immature about it, and this destined gravitational love bullshit is just going to implode after this baby is born. And it's a boy, right? I think we know this now. Ugh, God damn it, Amber and her horrible decision making. Lastly, we have Caitlin. She is all aboard the baby-making train as she had her ID removed and she's trying to surprise Tyler with a pregnancy. We see Nova throw a temper tantrum, and I don't know if I was just blessed with kids who never threw tantrums or what, but it was an intense scene to watch. It's just that kind of screaming from a toddler to an adult. It wouldn't happen in this house. No, not gonna do it. Now, maybe, you know what? Maybe that's my calling. Maybe I need to start earning some money for this family. I will be a traveling super nanny for teen moms on TV. Sadly, there's a shitload of them. So, you know what? I might be onto something. Maybe we need to have a nationwide super nanny for teen moms. Okay, let's come up with like a nickname, trademark it, copyright it, make some extra cash, right? Okay, anyway, back on topic. Tyler and Kate are going to meet up with Kim and her cute little pocket husband at the pumpkin patch. You know I love a scene with Kim, and it's a cute little day. Kim kind of questions a little bit, oh, are you planning on having more kids? They're talking about twins. Ooh, the foreshadowing. Fast forward to a lunch date with Caitlin, her token friend Haley, who's always there now, and Haley's son. More talk about pregnancy, and, oh, what's this? Caitlin says she just so happened to bring some pregnancy tests to take at the restaurant. Ew. Call me old-fashioned, but I don't want to find out that I am creating a human while Dottie, two stalls down, is creating something of her own. And did you notice Caitlin laying that pee stick on the diaper station? Ugh, fucking gross. This is exactly why moms will change their babies using one arm, a knee, and two toes in the back seat of a car instead of using one of those germ platters. Now, we don't get to see the results of the test there. But we later see Caitlin putting a shirt on Nova and going out to show Daddy. Tyler looks at her shirt, does a double take, and realizes it says, Big Sister. Now, Tyler really was truly shocked. I don't think that was staged for the cameras. I do think he was a little disappointed that he didn't get a little Batman box, but he's laughing and smiling. You notice that he never got up to hug Caitlin, though? It was a little weird for me, but maybe he was just truly in shock, but it was just strange that you wouldn't stand up and hug your wife. But they're clearly affectionate enough with one another to make a baby, so I will allow it. Now, this is completely bittersweet because, as we know, Caitlin sadly miscarried, and they say that this just added to that list of reasons why Caitlin has been seeking help in rehabs or treatment centers for mental illness. And it will be, I don't want to say interesting. I'm trying to grasp for the right word here. I guess I just want to see how MTV handles this type of loss. And it sadly happens really often to women, and it is not a shameful thing, but it's a loss, and that's hard to talk about, and it's sort of an invisible loss, so it's not one that's just easily shared when it happens. So I suppose we will see how Caitlyn and Macy's journey with those losses unfolds. Well, thanks for listening to our, I feel like it's a teeny tiny episode today. And also thanks for subscribing. Thankfully, the Super Bowl doesn't compete with next week's episode of Teen Mom, so I will certainly be back with another recap next week. And of course, tomorrow, recap of Married at First Sight. All those social media links where you can find me and the rest of our Orchard of Snark are in the show notes. Reality TV Pod everywhere, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Patreon. Make today an awesome one and stay salty.